18th chapter. We'll go back to verse number 7 for a moment and look at this. We're going to learn in this class the difference between religion and superstition. Religion and superstition. The difference between religion and superstition. There are very many superstitious people here, as we know that Paul has addressed. And there are people that are very religious, but they're going the wrong way. Their religions become superstitious, and we're going to run into this as we look at this. 19 to verse 6. Now, we'll read this in Greek and then bring it into English, and we'll go back to the Amplified Bible and read over this as we go also. Kai epithentos autois tu palu, kairos elte to numa to hagion, f autos elalun te glossias kai e prothetion. Now, we have believers here that had unscriptural baptism, didn't we? Apollos had a lot of people. They had at least 12 members in this church, or 12 group of people of 12 that were following Apollos. And Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Because he knew something was wrong. God inspired him to look into this problem. And they did not have the Holy Spirit. This group had not been sent out by Jesus or his churches. These churches were not established. Now, I thank God all over the world, wherever the gospel is preached enough to where people can understand the gospel and be saved. It would be real good if all of them had scriptural baptism and all of them knew the Word of God and had the authority to do the things that they do. And here we run into the Bible, into this situation where these people were preaching Jesus. Apollos was preaching Jesus. Priscilla and Aquila came along and they tried to straighten him out a little bit better. He was preaching John's gospel, John the Baptist's gospel, and baptizing people, but they had no authority to do this. So now, Paul, he lays his hands upon these people and they receive the Holy Spirit, and with evidence of this, and this is where we have a group in the, what would they call the full gospel, Pentecostal Assembly of God people today, Pentecostal, that emphasize these gifts. Here, in this period of time in history, right at this moment, right here, when Paul laid his hands upon them and they received the gift of speaking in languages they did not know how to speak, it says they spoke out in languages. They kept on speaking out in languages. In other words, they kept on preaching in languages they didn't know. And these were not unknown languages. These were spoken, real languages. So they had the gift of languages to go preach to anybody, anywhere now. They have this gift. And then they're prophesying by the inspiration of God. They're preaching messages that God is touching their heart with. The Holy Spirit is actually inspiring them to say the words that they are saying. Now, that's 19 verse 6. 19 verse 7, eison de, hoi pontes, andres, hose duodeca. And there kept on being, in that number, 12 people. These were, the word they kept on being there is eison, third person singular, imperfect indicative, or third person plural, imperfect indicative active, from Amy. And that means they were continuous disciples. They were habitual learners. And there were 12 of them that were faithful. Now these 12 have become a church. They have authority to go out and preach, and they have authority to baptize those people, and they will be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Verse number 18, or number 8 now, Aselthon de Aestain synagogae, Epareciasete, epi menos tres, dialogumnos, kai paitho, peri tes basileos to theu. Now, Paul is going to enter into a synagogue here now. And he kept on speaking freely, and this is one of the first times that he's ever been in a synagogue where he wasn't shut up, and his, you know, they didn't have First Amendment rights right here, as we have. Now, First Amendment rights, that's our amendment, not theirs. Freedom of speech. America had to fight hard to get freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of thought, freedom from false accusations and imprisonment, and the right to carry or possess firearms for their defense. Not always is the law there to help you. Sometimes you'll have to protect yourself. That's what we call our Second Amendment rights. Right here, all of these rights were in flux. Paul did not have total freedom of speech to preach wherever he was. Many times, did Paul get killed for what he said? Yeah. Two times. He was killed. Two times he died. Once stoned to death, and the other time he was decapitated by capital punishment. And he kept on speaking freely for more than 3 months. Lecturing, dialegomenos, and persuading these Jews concerning the kingdom of God. What had changed? We come all the way here. We have Adam in the garden. God told him to don't eat and to guard the garden. Now, a lot of charts don't say guard, but he was supposed to guard the garden, wasn't he? The garden is a palace. The garden was the throne room. He was supposed to guard that garden. What was he supposed to guard it from? Against.
Evil.
Satan and his forces. Because Satan is real. He had fallen spirits, which are demons, and he had fallen angels. And Adam was not just put there and just sat there in la-la land. There's things for you to do, Adam. Well, he failed, didn't he? He ate, and he didn't guard the garden. First of all, he didn't guard the garden because his wife would not have taken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil unless he had allowed Satan through the snake to infiltrate the fifth column inside. Now, we come on down. We have Abraham called out as we look on our chart behind me. And then we have Moses. You know, Jacob is born. He has 12 sons. The sons of Jacob go down into Egypt. They're down there for over 400 years. God calls Moses to call them out, and then God gives Moses the Mosaic Law, or the Law of God, the Decalogue, the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. And then the five books of Moses, and then all the Bible that the prophets during this period of time would rise, and they would write everything, Isaiah, Jeremiah, etc., Elijah, Elisha, Malachi, Joel, Amos, Nahum. All of these would have, by inspiration, David would be inspired by God to write many of the Psalms. Solomon was inspired to write things. Other people were inspired. And we have the Word of God. But the whole Word of God, all the way from Genesis to Malachi, would say one thing. That Jesus is coming. The kingdom of God is going to be handed from Israel, according to Genesis, the 9th chapter, verse 27, and that Israel would basically reject God, and that the gospel would be handed over to the sons of Japheth, the Gentiles. We know the Gentiles, the Hamites. We know that Ham, Shem, and Japheth all took part in the crucifixion of Christ, don't we? Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Shem, the Jews, the sons of Abraham, demanded the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on false charges. The Japhethite there was the Roman government and Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate declared Jesus innocent 5 times. He did everything he could do to keep him from being crucified. It didn't work. And then how did Ham take part in this? Well, Ham is the burden bearer, isn't he? Ham, the son of Ham, carried the cross of Jesus Christ to Calvary, didn't he? Okay. So we all were there at the crucifixion. Jesus, before he died, called out a group of people, and he called that group of people an ecclesia. And these little ecclesias were being scattered all over the land of Israel. One of the most important ecclesias was in Galilee, of course, and in Jerusalem. But the baton, the administration of the kingdom of God, was going to go from the Jews to the Gentiles. And God proved that even to Peter and to Paul. And Paul would be the apostle to the Gentiles because Peter was still... had a little problem with Gentiles, didn't he? We'll find that throughout his ministry, and even John Mark. So he tells them and persuades them, according to the kingdom of God, we're no longer Jews, people. We're all sons of God. Okay? The Jews are not very important today. He said, it is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God... Judaism has been replaced with the ecclesia, the church. 19 and verse 9 now. Hos de tenes et cle ro nun to kai et pe thon ka ko log guntes ten hodon enopion tu plethos apostas apo auton afuresen tous mathetes kath emera dialegonomos en te okle turono. And it says here, and just as some, they kept on hardening, and they kept on being unpersuaded. They kept, some of these Jews kept on hardening their hearts. And by the way, their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. They were caught on to their religion and their superstitious, and Paul tells it out in Galatians, the fourth chapter, plainly. They were tied up in their religion and their superstitious religion, and they don't want to change. And so their hearts were hardened, and anybody that gets out in a false religion, they have a lot of help from Satan. Satan confirms them in it. And that's what it says here. And as some of them, they kept on being hardened. That means outside forces were hardening them. They had made up their minds themselves, and now outside forces were hardening them. I remember when we were studying the book of Exodus. And the Bible is the Bible teaches about a God that gives us freedom of religion. We do choose our own path. But when we choose our own path sometime, then satanic forces take over if we don't follow God. And it says that Pharaoh kept on hardening his heart against God and against Pharaoh, against Moses. And then finally, in the end of the story is, and God hardens Pharaoh's heart. These people have become so vicious. The Jews had demanded the crucifixion and the death and the murder of Jesus. And they told Pontius Pilate, let his blood be upon us and our children, and it has been for 2,000 years. Absolutely. 2,000 years of it. They called for it, and God gave it to them. And they kept on being hardened, their hearts. And they kept on disobeying for themselves. They kept on disobeying. Here we have now, they had hardened their hearts, and now God is hardening their hearts. And they kept on disobeying. They kept on doing this on their own will. And they kept on speaking bad. They kept on speaking adamantly evil, religious, what we might call persecution. Against the way. The Tain Hodon. What does that Tain Hodon mean there, Sharon? Do you remember?
No.
Okay. One of the names for the young Christians were the Way. One of the names for the Christians. You got that, Marilyn? One of the names of the Christians, the early Christians, were of the Way. The Way of Jesus. The Way of following Christ. And they kept on speaking evil against the Way. And it were Enopion names down in the front of all the whole multitude, the Pathos, two Pathos. And they stood away from, they kept on standing away from the Way. And it says, and they were separated, the disciples kept on separating themselves each day. And then they lectured for themselves, Diologomenos. And they lectured and they lectured and they lectured. They taught doctrine. They taught who God was. They taught who Jesus was. They taught what the Holy Spirit was. They taught about the kingdom of God daily. In the skole of Tyrono. That's the word skole there. See that word skole? In Greek, that means the school. And we get our English word school right out of that. That's the word school right there. Our English word school comes out of skole. The school of Tyrono. Now, there was a school of Tyrannius there, and Tyrannius means the tyrant.
The tyrant?
Yeah, the tyrant. The school of Tyrannius. It's a place, but the name originally meant the tyrant. So, they're going out there, and they're teaching in the school of Tyrannius. And they're teaching about the kingdom of God. They're teaching about the Jews are going to reject it and that the Gentiles are going to be called by God's name. Verse 19 and verse 10 now. Tuto de agenito epi hete dio hoste pontas tus kata okuntos tein aesion acuse ton logon tu curio Eudeos te kai Elenas. Moreover, this kept on happening, or happened, over a period of 2 years. So that all the ones down homing, is what it says here, kata oikos, or kata okeo, in the as a verb form, they kept on dwelling in Asia. In other words, the Word of God kept on going out. People would hear the Word of God. They would rejoice in it. And those that would rejoice would pass it on and saying, this is the way. This is the way God wants us to walk. This is God's pathway. This is the road we're supposed to walk on today. Know Jesus and be happy. Have forgiveness of sins. Etc. And then those other ones throughout all Asia, then the Jews throughout all Asia will also say, these are tyrants. These are heretics. Don't listen to them. Let's kill them. Remember in the first religious conflict we have in the Bible where Cain slew Abel, didn't he? Always false religion wants to kill the others. The false religion always wants to make a villain out of the other side. And today, in America, we see a lot of this in our political situation today. One side wants to make a villain out of the other side. That they're bad, that they're criminals, and they ought to be quieted. False religion and false politics always wants to squelch the other side. They always want to squelch freedom of speech. In America, this happened here. Baptists don't start wars, by the way. Baptists don't start wars. Baptists never killed other people for what they believed. Baptists have died to give others freedom of religion. And sometimes freedom of religion is a very dangerous thing. That's what God gave mankind volition for. Freedom Volition is a dangerous game because you have the choice. Baptists at one time, and I could name names, and I could take you back to John T. Christian's History of the Baptist Church and Armitage and many others, just named all over there. There they are right there and over there on those bookshelves. But Baptists at one time, how many of you ever watched the movie Moby Dick? You watched the movie Moby Dick? Marilyn, we watched it a few times. Remember Captain Nemo? Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not Nemo, but Ahab. Captain Ahab. Captain Ahab was after that white whale, wasn't he? And that white whale to him was the devil, the evil of all the world, and he wanted to kill that whale. Above all other things, they sent him out, the company sent him out, get him out to kill whales and get whale oil to light homes with. And to oil clocks, whatever. It was a good oil. We've done more better oils now than killing whales. But at that time, they went out there and they were killing whales, and Captain Ahab pulled them off of killing the whale. That was their job. He pulled them off that, and he said, "We're going to kill that whale. We're going to go after that white whale. Who will stand by me?" And he got out a keg of rum, and they all had a drink, and then he took the spears, the harpoon points, the dagger-type arrowheads, spearheads, harpoon heads. He said, "Let's make them harder than ever." He said, "How many of you will give blood, give your blood to put in a basin to dip and to harden these spear points, these harpoon points with your blood? How many of you will give blood to baptize those harpoons in?" And they said, "Yay, yay," and now it doesn't show them doing that, but they did it in the movie. That was part of the story. In early American history, the Baptist pastors got together and they said, "Here is our..." They fought with England. They had one colony in America, the Great Colony, and that was Rhode Island. They had two Baptist church there, Newport, and I can't think of the other one, Rhode Island. And they had fought, and they had petitioned for many years to have a free colony in America. And the Baptists said, "Let's try to have a free colony throughout all of America, freedom of religion throughout all of America." And they bled themselves. They put their blood in a basin, and they dip their swords in and say, "We will not stop fighting until we have freedom of religion." They were fighting for freedom of religion. They were not fighting to suppress other religions. They were fighting for freedom of religion. For over 2 years now, it says here, that they were in this area, and the word of the Lord was going out so that others could hear, both Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles. And the word of God went out there, and people were convinced, and the word of God also hardened other people's hearts, so they had enemies also. That's the way it is. Some people hate you. I believe in America today that Trump is the most hated man, a hated president that ever was elected president of the United States by some. And he is absolutely the most beloved president by others. The most beloved and loved president of all presidents. More than Lincoln, more than anyone else. Mm-hmm. Most beloved president, but the almost hated man for what he taught. Verse number 11 now, we go into a little bit different subject. We talk about sons. Sons of Sceva. It said, "Dynamis te u tas ta kousos, hothios epoie dia ton keron palon." or Palu, that is. And it says both parable deeds outside of the ordinary, dynamis, that means powerful deeds, terrible deeds, deeds that would absolutely scare people when they would see it. They would be frightened by it. They would be struck out of their sentence. They would be absolutely dumbfounded by the deeds that Paul was doing through the hands of Paul, that God kept on doing through the hands of Paul. And it says, these are not ordinary deeds. It's utas tu kousos. These are outside of the ordinary. These are supernatural deeds. These deeds could not happen by chance. When Jesus did miracles, he raised the dead, he healed the blind, he healed leprosy. He did things that were all extraordinary. We talk about America founded on Christian ideas, and in many ways it was. But the man that wrote the preamble to the Constitution, Thomas Jefferson, was not a believer in Jesus Christ. He believed he was a deist. He believed in God. And he went through the Bible all the way from Genesis through Revelation, and he did one thing. He took out all the miracles in the Bible. He said, God is just a deity that looks down and just looks at what man's doing and just lets him go. We believe in a God that interferes with in the human race, don't we? We believe in a God that interferes in the human race, that we can pray to, and that He will actually answer our prayers. We believe in a God that when everything else has failed, prayer works. We believe in a God that can raise and topple nations, don't we? We can believe in a God that can go beyond all science because He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. And He is all-knowing. These powerful deeds. Now let's look here in the next couple of verses. Hoste kai epitos asthenontos. Apo te ruste. Apo tu crotus autu su daria e sibach crintia kai apalese op autu tas nosus ta te numata ta ponera ek porus theste. So that it even upon the ones ailing, weak, sick, diseased, infirm, to be carried away the skin of him, handkerchiefs or aprons, and to be ridden or loosed away from them the diseases, and spirits, evil spirits, to go out. Now, let's go back and look at this verse for a moment. There's a lot of religious people today that carry on this nonsense today. People have always been superstitious, haven't they? People are superstitious, are they?
Yeah.
There are people who are superstitious. Paul said, as he went up there on Mars Hill, he said, I am acquainted now with some of your gods. You serve a lot of gods, and I absolutely declare that you are a very superstitious people, that you are a very demon-fearing people. Now, it says here that people were sick, dying, weak, heavily diseased, that if... Now this word, sidravia, sidaria, and sima kinta, the one word there means a sweat rag. A sweat rag. What is a sweat rag? Now Maryland, a long time ago, pay attention to me now. Are you listening, Maryland?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. A long time ago, you saw this old woodcutter guy. hanging his arm out the door, and there was a great big pile of wood in his truck. And he had a red rag, sweat rag, around his head, and wearing overalls, delivering firewood. You remember who that was?
Yeah.
Who was it?
You.
Me. Okay. I had a sweat rag around my head all the time. I had a handkerchief all bound up, and I was, because I was working hard. And I had this 2.5-ton truck that I carried about 2 cords of wood on and pulled a trailer behind me a lot of times with more firewood, and I'd go deliver firewood. I'd go up in the mountains and cut it and bring it down and deliver it all over Bakersfield. And I had this sweat rag on my head. Even here, when I go out, sometimes I'll put a rag around my head or a rag to wipe off the sweat. And we have to do that when you get out and get hot and you're sweaty. That's what that term handkerchief there is, a sweat rag. Now, back in this time, we know the Apostle Paul, they had sweat rags. And then it says, and the simikinta. That word there is aprons. Marilyn, do you have an apron on?
Yes.
You've got an apron on right now.
I have.
Okay. Now, Paul worked cutting cloth and cutting leather. He was a tent maker, and he made a lot of things, maybe saddles and everything out of leather. The word a tent maker and the leather worker were the same. It's like a shoemaker. He probably made saddles. He made bridles, all of this. And when he was doing all this work, he wore an apron. Now, Paul, beyond what some of you believe, you know, women's supposed to wear women's dresses, men's supposed to wear women's dresses, you know. Now, back then, everybody wore dresses, and Paul wore a dress. But over his dress, over his robe, he would have an apron to keep him, keep wearing his clothes out, for one thing. Probably Jesus even wore an apron when he was a stonemason. You get out and do that. Now, I go outside, and all of my pants have holes in them, don't they, Marilyn? After a little while, they got holes in the where my thighs are and my knees. They got holes all in my clothes. Now, if I was wearing aprons, I probably wouldn't do that. Now, when I cut firewood, some people wear short chaps or aprons. That's what these things are. These aprons and handkerchiefs. Now, Paul, as he did his work, he would wear an apron. And as he worked, he would sweat and he'd wipe his face with a sweat rag, a sweat cloth. The apron may be made out of leather or some heavy cloth. The handkerchiefs were always made out of linen or something, a cotton cloth or whatever, that would absorb the sweat. So now, these people were so superstitious and thought so much of, you know, when Jesus was walking by, one woman touched the hem of his garment, didn't it? And she was healed. And then, as Peter was walking around different areas where he'd walk, they thought that even if his shadow would fall upon people, they would be healed. What was healing people all the time was the power of God. It wasn't an apron. It wasn't a cloth. It wasn't a sweat rag. It wasn't the shadow of Peter or anything like that. It was the power of God. People always run with it. I've had students that I've taught over the years, they say, well, Brother Jim taught this. Well, I didn't teach that at all. They went off on some tangent someplace. They accused me of teaching something that they taught that I never taught. Well, these people here, they thought that if they had a sweat rag from Paul or one of his work aprons, and that the very touch of that would rid these people from any disease and any evil spirits would go out of them. Now let's go back and read these verses from the Amplified Bible. I hope you've learned something in these few verses that we've gone through today, because there's dynamite instruction there. Verse number 6, where we actually started. And as Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other foreign languages. These are not unknown languages. These are foreign languages. They kept on speaking in those languages to prove that the Holy Spirit had come. Paul had to make a lesson here that your baptism was no good. The gospel that you heard preached was effective to save your soul, but you don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit that has passed through the churches. You need to have that administration in your life, and that's what happens here. And they spoke in foreign languages, and they kept on prophesying. Prophesying by the power of the Spirit of God, and they were preaching inspired messages now. Apollos preached the message of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's message was good. But John the Baptist's message was for the time of John the Baptist. The disciples that followed him went on. John never told them to go baptize anybody. He told his disciples that he must increase and I must decrease. And as Paul laid his hands upon these people now that we're going to have scriptural baptism and we're going to be part of the ministration in the kingdom of God, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in foreign languages and they kept on prophesying. Now, I've changed a little bit here because I brought it into the Greek. It says they prophesied and they spoke, but it doesn't say that in the original language. They kept on speaking and they kept on prophesying. And it says there kept on being about 12 of them. They were continuous, faithful, devout disciples, and now church members. And Paul went out into the synagogue for 3 months. And he spoke boldly, persuading and arguing and pleading about the kingdom of God. But some of them became more and more stubborn, hardened, and unbelieving, discrediting and reviling and speaking evil of the way of the Lord. The way of the Christians, literally, you could put there. Before the congregation, and he separated himself from them, taking the disciples with him. Paul separated himself from them. Sometimes it's not worth your time. Jesus told in one of his parables, don't cast your pearls before swine. Quit wasting your time on these devils and just go to those who will listen. He went on holding taking his disciples with him, and he went on holding daily discussions in the lecture room of Tyrannus from about 10 o'clock till about 3 o'clock every day, from 11 to 3 or 10 to 4, 11 to 4, whatever, that time of day. And this continued for 2 whole years, so that all the inhabitants of the province of Asia, Jews as well as Greeks, heard the word of the Lord concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God and concerning the kingdom of God. God's plan in this world today. God still has true New Testament churches in the world today and are still trying to preach the word of God all over the world. And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So that handkerchiefs, sweat rags, and aprons, which had touched his skin, were carried away and put upon the sick, and their diseases left, and the evil spirits came out of them. And the next people we're going to meet here are some false religious exorcists. Exorcists that claim the power of God, but they're a false religion, and they are led away by demons. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this message from your word. And I pray, Father, if one out there does not know you, that they will. And I pray that they'll follow you and in their life, that they'll ask you to forgive them of their sins and claim the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, our Savior, because of what he did on the cross of Calvary, that he that he died on the cross, he was buried in the grave, and rose again. And Father, help us to glorify you with our lives. Please forgive us where we fail you. And we pray for this coming.